Romans chapter 2. This morning, I want to be up front with you. If you are a child of God, I'm going to ask you to please pray. This message is specifically for those who have not made a profession of faith. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to belittle you. I'm just here to share with you the glorious news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for those who are saved, I want to ask you to be praying that God will open hearts today. For those at home that are watching, be praying that God will use this message. Would you stand with me? Romans chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 11. For there is no partiality with God. For as many as have sinned without the law will also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For in Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law. These, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know His will. And approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law, but if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even with your written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow to you today knowing that you can change lives, that you can heal the broken, that you can create a new creation in sinful man. So Lord, as we examine these passages today, I pray that you would just cause us all to take a serious look at where we are in our relationship with you. But especially for those, Lord, who have never committed their lives to you, for whatever reason, whatever excuse that they've made, I pray today that the excuses will cease and they will call upon you as the Lord of their life. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of proclaiming your word. And thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, when somebody goes to court, it all comes down to the decision. That decision of guilty or not guilty. Now, if you're found guilty in a court of law, then you face the punishment. If you're innocent, then you're free to go. Today, we're going to try two groups of people. Those who are not religious and those who are religious. But before we begin, I want you to understand when I say we're going to try two groups of people, I'm not going to try you. Okay? That's not me. Nobody here is going to try you. But you are standing before the one and only righteous judge, Jesus Christ, today. Jesus, understand completely that as Jesus will one day judge you, there will be absolutely no partiality with Him. Okay? He's not moved by your race, by your social standing, or who your parents are. He's not even moved by what church you're a member of. He's going to look at one thing. Guilty or not guilty? That's all we're concerned with today. Guilty or not guilty? Now, I said we were going to try the two groups. We're going to try the first group. And the first group that's under trial here are the Gentiles. Now, who are the Gentiles? That's probably all of us in this congregation today. Right? Those Gentiles who did not have the law. God did not speak directly with the Gentiles and give them His law. He did that for the Jews. And in verse 12, we're going to examine their violations, if you will. It says, as many have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And when he says without law, I want you to understand the law that he's talking of there is the law of Moses that was given to the Jews. And even though God did not directly give the law of Moses to the Gentiles, he holds them accountable for their sin. Now that sounds kind of tough, doesn't it? You may say, well, that's not fair. God didn't give me a written law. Well, wait a minute. Read verses 14 and 15 with me again. In verse 14, it says, for when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law unto themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness between themselves and their thoughts, accusing or else excusing them. You know what he's saying there? He's saying that everyone here was born with a sense of right and wrong. A God-given sense of what is sin and what is not. I mean, you don't have to tell people that their actions are wrong. And we talked about this a little bit last week. But you're born with the idea that it's wrong to murder someone. You're born with the conviction that it's wrong to steal. That it's wrong to lie. Sexual immorality is wrong. You're just born with it. It's a God-given sense of sin. Now, what we do as Gentiles we become callous to our sin. And we even come to the point that we rebrand our sin. For example, no longer is abortion abortion. It's a choice. I mean, let's face it, choice sounds better. No longer is homosexuality an abomination, it's an alternate lifestyle. No longer is adultery adultery, it's an indiscretion. I mean, even when it comes down to the lie, I mean, we don't lie, do we? We stretch the truth a little bit. right? Or we don't tell the whole truth. And you may say, well, Brother Doug, I'm only guilty of the little sins. Good for you, but you're still guilty before God. See, James 2:10 says, whoever should keep the whole law and stumble in one point, he's guilty of all. And see, what I want to help you do today is I want to help you come to grips with your sin. That your sin is still sin. And one of the greatest challenges to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is that sin has been whitewashed and people don't really, you know, we want to think, well, I'm not as bad as some people. I'm not as sinful as others. How many times have you heard that? Here's the thing. You are guilty. The truth is, God judges according to truth. And listen, even according to the secrets of man. It doesn't matter what I think. My opinion is not relevant. What matters is what God knows you to be. And any way you cut it, you may say, I haven't done the big sins, but you know, let's face it, you've lied. How many has lied? Will you raise both hands? Half, only half of us. No, everybody raise their hand. You're a liar. That means you're at odds with God. And I want you to get this one thing. This isn't a real earth-shattering message telling you some, you know, the Greek, the Hebrew and all. I want you to get one thing. If you're here today, you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're guilty. Period. You can make excuses, but that does not take care of your sin. That's what the Gentiles looked like in the text here. And let's look at what the Jews looked like. See, the violations of the Jews, they thought they were special. They were, they were somebody special. That God basically gave them a free pass because they were Jews. And we say, how dare them? Well, aren't we just kind of bent the same way? You know, we think, well, we're church members, so we have a free pass. So before you condemn the Jews, look at the way that people are today. They were God's, you know, they knew themselves to be God's chosen people. They personally were given the law of Moses. They were extremely religious. They kept the law, for the most part, down to the smallest letter. Verse 17 describes them as, he says, you rest in the law. You make your boast in God. You know God's will. You approve the excellent things. You're a guide to the blind, teacher of babes, a light in darkness. These people were religious. But let's take a look at what they really were as they stand before God and as God views them. Paul said, do you who teach, do you not teach yourself? You who teach don't steal, do you steal? You who teach don't commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You know what he's saying here? It's kind of like that sinner that'll be on the outside and looked at us on the inside and say, yeah, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're a member of that church over there. And you do the same thing everybody else does. That's why he said in verse 24, "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." And you know, I thought about that, and it really hit home in that there are a lot of people who go to church and live like the devil. And they think they're okay because they go to church. But they do everything that the world does. But they're okay because they're a member of Victory. And I want to tell you, if you can live any way you want to without the discipline of God, you better back up and take a look at what you have is really real. Okay? And if you back up and you look at those and say, well, I know those people, they go to church at Victory or they go to church at another Baptist church or some other church in town, and you say, well, they're no better than I am. You're right, they're no better than you are. As a matter of fact, if they're living like the devil and getting away with it, they're probably not even saved. So what's the bottom line? The bottom line is guilty. This is the part we don't want to take. And when you're declared guilty, then comes the verdict. The verdict that applies to all, if you will. Paul goes on at the end of this reading. He said, circumcision is great if you keep the whole law. But if you break one part of that law, your circumcision means nothing. Again, James 2:10. For whosoever keeps... Whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. Most people want to think that they are righteous. That they are right. But you know, I've discovered something. When I drive a car, there are a lot of laws that I have to adhere to. When I drive that car. Right? And so if I go down the road and I'm speeding, which would never happen because I would never do such a thing. Yeah, right. I know, hypocrite, right? But let's say I'm doing 75 and a 70. Or 60 and a 55. Oh, let's go big. Let's do 80 in a 55, right? Police officer stops me, gives me a ticket. And I decide to go to court. And when I arrive at court, the judge calls me up and says, you've been charged with 30 miles over the speed limit. What do you plead? What am I going to say? Well, Judge, it's complicated. Judge is going to say, oh, really? What's your plea? Innocent? Guilty? Not guilty. What's your plea? Well, Judge, let me tell you. You know, before your police officer stopped me, I came through a red light, an intersection with a traffic light, and that traffic light was red. And Judge, I want you to know I stopped at that traffic light, obeying the law. Then the judge is going to look at me and say, yeah. You're not in court for running a red light. Yeah, but Judge, you know, I want you to understand, I was also going down the road, same day, and there was this old person driving 40 miles an hour down the road, and it was a double yellow line and I couldn't pass, and I exercised such great discipline as I stayed behind that person who was driving 40 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone, and I didn't pass him on the double yellow line. The judge is going to say, good for you. You're not here for passing on a double yellow line. But Judge, right before I was stopped for speeding, I stopped at a stop sign, and I want you to know it was not a California stop. I stopped fully, and I looked all ways before I proceeded through that stop sign. judge is going to say, good for you. What's your plea? I'm going to say, well, wait a minute, judge. You know, I might have been speeding just a little bit. But something I noticed, judge, was that all the other cars on the interstate were passing me like I was sitting still. So there were a lot of other people going a lot faster than I was going. The judge is going to look at me and say, okay. Those other people are not on trial here today. And then I'm going to use my world famous original excuse, but judge, I think my speedometer's a little bit off. Is that not the dumbest one you've ever heard? The judge is going to say, well, you know what? The speed limit is not based upon your faulty speedometer. He's going to say, Doug, you were clocked doing 80 miles an hour in a 50 mile an hour speed zone. I'm going to say, yes, Your Honor. And eventually the judge is going to say, do you plead guilty or not guilty? The reality is it don't matter what I plead, I'm guilty, right? So I go ahead and I plead guilty, and the judge says, guilty, pay the fine. And that goes on my record. Now I want to tell you something. You're here today, and you may be one of the most religious people that are sitting in this congregation. And you look around and you say, yeah, I'm okay. Because as I look over at old Doug Hambrick, and I know what he is. And you know, I've seen him lose his cool. And I've seen him do things he shouldn't do or act ways he shouldn't. I've seen him, and I'm better than he is. You're not going to be tried based on me. You can sit here where you are today and you can say something like, but I've gone to church every Sunday since I was a little bitty baby. And look at all those people out there that aren't going to church. When you stand before Jesus, you're going to hear, all those people are not on trial here today. I've told you in my word, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How do you plea? And there'll be some smart aleck that'll plea not guilty. Well, let's open the book. I remember the day you were sitting in Victory Missionary Baptist Church, June 6th. It is the 6th, isn't it? 7th, whatever it is. Right here. When you were offered salvation, you see, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You were offered salvation and you overlooked your sin, even though you heard for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. You refused to give your heart to Jesus Christ, even though you knew you stood guilty before an awesome God who gave His Son as the sacrifice to pay your sin debt. The judge will say at that time, depart from me. I never knew you. Listen, friends. The wages of sin is death. Period. And if you die without Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. I don't care if you're religious or if you're not. I don't care if you go to church or if you don't go to church. It doesn't matter. It matters, have you taken care of your sin? That's why, you know, I started at the beginning of this message. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm just here to tell you the truth. People are going to church today and walking out lost because they don't want to confess, they don't want to admit their guilt. People are living like the world and saying, "Oh yeah, I'm okay, I'm saved," because they don't want to deal with their sin. One question. Have you sinned? Truth is, yes. Then your destination is eternal separation from God. There's a place called hell. But there is hope. I want to tell you what happened to me when I was a young man. When I was a young man, I had a Chevrolet pickup truck. And it had that Chevy 305 motor in it, and that had glass packed. You could hear me coming an hour before I got there. And I don't know what it is about kids. I say kids, I was 17, 18, 19 years old, somewhere in that neighborhood. But we just have to hear those muffler gas glass packs, you know? Wop, 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 wop. Kids today don't even know what I'm talking about, do they? Bless you. It was loud. The more you push the gas, the louder it would be. One night, me and my buddies were in my Chevy pickup. Had the world by the tail. You know, everything was good. And I'm in a school zone. I turn a corner and I floor it. And you could hear those glass packs popping. Boy, they were roaring. And I'm like, yep, I'm the man. And I saw some headlights up ahead of me. So I come off of it a little bit, start to slow down. And right when that person I was meeting got right in front of me, here's the blue lights. Now remember, I'm in a school zone. So I said, oh man. And I went through all those, speedometer must be wrong, and I went through all that, right? But I knew there was one thing that I was guilty. I don't remember what the ticket was. It was like 65 and a 20. It was bad. It was bad. But the worst part was that I had to tell my daddy. Whew. You know, I wasn't afraid what the law would do to me. I was afraid what daddy was going to do to me. Then my brother, you know, and I didn't have the fine money. I couldn't pay the fine. So I had come time to pay the fine. I wasn't going to court because I knew I'd be found guilty. And then everybody would know I was speeding, which everybody knew that anyway. They could hear me coming all over town. But I got just a couple of days before court, and I've got this big brother. His name's Danny. Big brother. He caught me out one day and he said, "Doug, come here." And he gave me a check for the amount of my fine. Because I had shared with Big Brother what I'd done, right? You know, he knew what I'd done. He gave me a check for the fine. He said, "Here, go pay your fine." Go pay your fine. And we'll just keep this between you and me. Mom and Daddy don't have to know. So I hugged him and I went and I paid my fine. And I sure didn't tell Mom and Daddy. But used to, and I thought I was off scot-free. But used to, once every 6 months, your insurance would send you letters on the number of traffic stops or whatever that you had been in trouble with. Do they still do that? Anyway, a few months later, Mom and Daddy get a letter in the mail. And Mom and Daddy found out, and we'll leave it there. My point is this. I really don't think I was a bad kid. I did some things I shouldn't do. I was a little spunky. I would get into that Chevy and speed a little bit and, you know, stuff like that. But I really wasn't a bad kid. Compared with other kids, you know, I wasn't bad. I wouldn't, you know, drugs? No. Never went to jail. But you know what? I was held accountable. I want to tell you something. You may think you've hidden it from everybody. But God judges according to truth. God knows. You will one day stand accountable before God for the fact that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now you can play religious games, you can deny, you cannot think about it, you do whatever you want to do, but the bottom line is, your sin will find you out. I said, my mom and daddy found out, right? God knows. I don't know your sin. Brother Michael, Brother Ken, Brother Kelly doesn't know your sin. But God already knows, and you will stand accountable. And when you stand accountable, what are you going to say? I'll tell you what I'm going to say. God, I'm guilty. But I plead the blood of Jesus Christ who paid my fine for my sin. You know, I really didn't get in all that much trouble as I was expecting. I think Mom and Daddy were kind of proud of my big brother for taking care of his little brother. You know, it wasn't that big a deal. It was a big deal to me. But I want to tell you something. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, took care of you. He said, I'm going to pay their fine. All of sin comes short of the glory of God, but I'm going to pay their fine. So he went to a cross called Calvary, beaten, bloody, bruised, wearing a crown of thorns. He died on that cross. He was laid in the grave, where he laid for 3 days, and then glory to God, he came up out of that grave alive and well, and he did that for you and for me. So that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, you got to do something with your sin. You're guilty. The good news is the fine's been paid. The fine's been paid. Now, it's up to you. I feel that I've preached what God gave me to preach today. Now you've got to deal with God. What are you going to do? You're given an opportunity for salvation. Walk out of here tonight. Walk out of here, make excuses. But the bottom line is, God gave His Son so that you could have eternal life. So now, as we have this invitation, will you call upon the name of Jesus, confessing to Him your sins and asking Him to save you? Brother Doug, is that all there is to it? Absolutely. That's it. That's all that's required for salvation. Now make no mistake, we're made a new creation in Christ Jesus. We want the world to see how wonderful Christ is. But you start the relationship by taking care of your sin. That's what I'm going to ask you to do today. Our Father in heaven, give us the heart to take care of sin. For those who have put you off, to those who have made excuses, I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. Lord, help them to deal with their sin by giving their sin to Jesus Christ. We commend this invitation into Your hands and pray Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.